96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
We are coming to the end of the MLK Day holiday, and in tonight's discussion, we're talking about something that was relevant during King's life, and now yours, race and the media. How are those issues that are covered affecting the reporters? And how do they impact you? How are these issues looked at from various sides of the racial fence? My guests are Hamil Harris, reporter for The Washington Informer, Erica Totten, co-founder of Black Lives Matter DC, and David Johns, executive director of the White House Initiative on Education Excellence for African Americans. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Great to be here.
Let me start with you, Hamil. The big news that has come out over the past 24 hours, the media news, is that the incoming Trump administration is actually considering removing mainstream media from the West Wing of the White House, and that indeed there have been several explanations, none of which are very clear as to why. Is this a big deal or not? And what impact do you believe this could have on covering issues related to race and ethnicity?
Well, Harold, this is a historical deal because, you know, dating back for years when you had potential assassinations and things like this, you always had a press pool, people who were following the president, people who had proximity, and now to basically take the press and put them in the building next door when you need them is strictly something that Donald Trump has contrived. But again, we saw this. You remember when he won the nomination and he went out to dinner in New York and things like that, you know, the press was waiting to go with them and they didn't get the invitation. So we see that. But again, historically, you have a perfect storm. You have a president that wants to disassociate himself from the press, not call on some of the major media organizations. And at the same time, he does not have the institution that will follow him to the White House, who knows people, who has the relationship in the community to say, hey, wait a minute, Mr. President, we need to talk to this group. We need to have relations. We need to visit the African-American Museum. We need to talk to certain people. So you almost have, I'm not calling him ignorant, but you have this cloud of ignorance also coupled with the fact that he didn't really want to deal with the media.
David, you've been at the White House and you know about the relationship between the media and the president, I dare say, and the administration. Would you think that removing mainstream media or media in its entirety would be a bad thing?
I think it's a horrible idea. I think in addition to all of the things that Harold talked about, there's the concern that I continue to have, which is who will help to attempt to keep he who shall not be named honest. So much of the role of the media is in helping to ensure that that which the administration and those who have been elected to serve or otherwise appointed to serve this country are doing is aligned with that which they purport to care about and the communities that they purport to serve. And without the media able to be on the front lines, able to translate information, to cover conversations and otherwise help to facilitate the ability for individuals who are not able to access the White House in that way to be able to do so should be of concern for everyone.
Erica, when it comes to, you know, covering politically and socially sensitive issues over the past year, what have been your observations, particularly when it comes to Black Lives Matter? Have we, the black press, mainstream media, done a good job?
It's really hard to say, honestly. The way that I have been engaging with mainstream media over the last year has been very different than any time in my life, particularly because of the images that are continued to be portrayed about us, but also the psychological trauma that it inflicts, particularly with mainstream media and consistent showing black death and black pain on a loop, and how that impacts our organizing, how it impacts the emotional, spiritual capacity that we have when we are consistently absorbing these images. So for me, there has been boundaries on what I engage with. So there's independent media companies and black media that that I support and get news from and things like that. But what we've been seeing is either a consistent not telling the truth about who we are as organizers, and consistent putting forth this idea of being terrorists or not good for our community or anything of those, any type of way to discredit the movement. And so my work has really been about the way that I engage with the media has been very different.
And this is critical because you have what's happening when you have the speed to get it out, the speed that now tweeting or the Twitter is the White House press statement of the day. You remember when President Obama came to this town 8 years ago, he moved to the Hay Adams. He was here a week or two ahead of time. There was an office of transition and there would be daily briefings with reports and people to talk on background. We have the daily tweet. And so you have that. Again, this cloud of ignorance conflated with the fact that you have a whole new generation of reporters who are expected to get it out. But what are they getting out? And so, again, they see someone's Black Lives Matter. Then you have the right wing jumping out screaming and they're a bunch of hoodlums and whatever. So it's just a lot going on. And we're kind of stuck. I mean, after being at The Washington Post for 24 years, now I'm at The Washington Informer. I feel like I'm going back to learn my own community.
That's an interesting point. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about race in the media beyond the microphone. How are issues covered and how do they impact you? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. I want to kind of piggyback on, you know, kind of learning the community. And I think it's really interesting. Under the Obama administration, you could have argued, and David, you can certainly, you know, chime in on this. You could have argued that for a lot of white America, they had never seen the likes of a middle class nuclear family.
And that I would disagree with that.
You would say
and I would point to the role of media and having done so.
Oh, maybe I should say let me understanding that, because for us, it's pro forma.
Yes, no, I would still. I think three things. I think one, the institution of transatlantic enslavement was intentional in destroying black families, right? Okay. There was an acknowledgement that there was strength in that unity, and there were systems that were designed to ensure that that would not be replicated over time, right? One. Two, over time, black people have shown up in so many different forms, and the media has covered that, right? So we could talk about plays, we can talk about theater and its role in this regard, or we can just simply talk about The Cosby Show, a Different World, and the ways in which black people showing up in spaces that white people might want to imagine that we didn't inhabit was simply not true.
So you're saying that white people did understand that middle-class black America did exist?
Yeah, and spent time destroying families where it existed, right? I think that if there's a point to be made, it's that the Obamas as a family should be celebrated for demonstrating black excellence with such grace, right? It is not lost on me that this administration has spent 8 years of leading and fighting so many wars and winning on so many fronts, not just for black America, but for all America, and did so without a scandal. And this new administration has not even taken office yet and has come in with so many different scandals, right? The point about the family in terms of how they show up with grace, it's a powerful symbol and it's one that should be celebrated, but we shouldn't overstate the case in ways that diminish the significance of so many other black families showing up in powerful ways that destroy stereotypes for white people and for non-white people as well.
But see, that's what I mean. And I think, you know, I think we have what we know to be true. And we also have, as we have seen during the course of this campaign and over the past several months, stereotypes that for some segments of this population end up being, you know, untrue stereotypes.
Dave, look what happened.
I just don't want to give it more power than it needs, right? So this is when people say that the same country that elected Barack Obama turned around and elected somebody who has oppositional worldviews. That is not true. Right. President candidate Clinton won the popular vote. Right. Yes, there were so many people who were racist, who don't want to have conversations about the collusion of race and racism in America, who showed up to vote. But there were a lot more people who were woke who just didn't show up at all.
So what's the responsibility of the media, indeed the black media, in that discussion?
Well, look what happened today. Donald Trump yesterday tweeted out that John Lewis needs to stop talking so much and take care of his terrible district that has all this poverty and stuff. Well, his district has Buckhead, which is one of the more affluent neighborhoods in Atlanta. It has Hartsfield International Airport. It has Emory University. It has all these icons of Atlanta that's not exactly poor.
Right.
But again, because the president said it, then all of a sudden there's a debate. Well, John Lewis needs to be quiet. And there's a stereotype that just because he's an African-American in Congress, he has to represent the poor black folks. But again, what the Atlanta Journal Constitution did, to their credit, is they had the voices. They showed this district. They quantified the lie that President-elect Trump apparently, or falsehood, he told. So again, but if you don't have a person that's sensitive in the newsroom, will that story get told?
That's not about being sensitive. That's about being factual and knowing how to Google.
Well, there's the word factual, which is probably the word that was used the most last year. And that's my point.
I got you.
And my point is, it's not about what I know and what you know to be true, because I agree with you. But my point is that what we know to be a fact is not often considered by others to be the case.
It won't be printed.
However, when we are trying to, we get in this position when we say, well, what is black media going to do? How are we going to tell other people? We are not in the business of trying to convey our humanity to people that dehumanize us. So we can lay out the facts. It's about if they're going to receive them or not. And they just are not receiving.
So is the attitude not to do anything? Because
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's not to be the counterpoint.
No, because ultimately, yes, putting out facts. But what has to happen as well is other people need to start taking responsibility. And so the same way that you have 53% of white women voting for Trump, you can't say there are so many people in this whole skew of blaming marginalized people for where we are or for inaction or for perceived apathy. It's just not the case. You have to be able to peel back the layers and look at who is going to really shift the tide. And it's not always going to be us.
But who's going to peel back those layers if the editor says, we're not interested in that, we're going to pass on that today.
Absolutely.
Focus on
black
that.
Black people are doing that, though.
Okay.
Black media are doing
right.
that.
But again, what's the circulation? You know, what's the advertising? A lot of times we write wonderful stories and nobody can read them
Absolutely.
Or find them
so
on the internet.
Mainstream media, those that have larger platforms, need to be doing that.
Making a similar point.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you so much. David, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about race in the media beyond the microphone. How are the issues covered and how do they impact you? Lamont, calling from Maryland. Lamont, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
No problem. This is a wonderful discussion and I thank all of you for participating in it. I have more of a comment. And my comment is, you know, when we see blacks commit a crime in the media, conversation always goes to black on black crime. They always judge all of us by how an individual commits a crime. I never hear them talk about white on white crime or other types of crime rather than black on black crime. One speaks for all of us. And you see that constantly in the media, and it plays over and over. Whenever someone robs a liquor store, whenever, whatever, you hear in the comments, people say all blacks need to, you know, they talk about our family matters, and, you know, I'm a strong father. There are plenty of strong black men, but, you know, that's not portrayed in the media when they have these types of crimes committed.
But
when a white person commits a crime, we hear lone wolf. We hear he's an extreme. He's not normal. This is not the norm. Every time they kill, you know, they terrorize the school or whatever they do, riot, whatever, it's not a normal, it's aberration. Mm-hmm. And I just think that plays a very important role in the media.
Lamont, thank you.
Trump, able to manipulate people.
Thank you so much for your comment. Real quick, Hamil, you want to comment on that? I've got about
30 seconds.
I just think
that we still have our own personal responsibility to question where we get our information from. We want to herald the black press. We want to say, yes, we need to. But if you're going to turn on the CNNs or the quote major media and you get fed a certain dose of foolishness or a certain dose of down a certain line, is that our blame? Because there are responsible, progressive news organizations that may not have the metadata, may not have the big picture, but they are trying very hard. But nobody's going to pay attention to that on your phone. We get most of our information on these phones now.
Yeah, but those mainstream media outlets are also on your phone.
That's true. Yeah. My point is that we consume a certain diet and we get constipated and we get mad. But when do we stop? When do we say no?
Interesting point. I need to take a break. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation. Race in the media. How are issues covered? How do they impact you? Lines are open. Want to hear from you at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls after the break, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Stay with us.